I think they are.
Maybe we could.
What do we have down there?
Staff personnel, Welsh and.
Corey,
yeah. And William said he was going to be late this morning. He called in.
Merkley's coming too.
And Merkley's there too?
He's water environment.
Okay. Well, yeah, can we talk about the amendments first? Okay, I'll open a work session on Senate Bill 595 and try to find out what all these amendments are about. Please.
Chairman Strobeck and members of the committee, before you is Senate Bill on 595. We have on various amendments. To begin with, you have like a dash 2 there, and what this is doing is we first just let it be noted that we do have a conflict with this bill with Senate Bill 248, which is the one that was a rewrite of the Farm Use Statute. So we do need these referring to different sections, and in this particular case, I think it's Section 5 and then Chapter whatever Legislative Council puts in at the end. But we do have conflicts with Senate Bill 248, so that's what we're doing in the beginning on the Section 4. And then as we go on in page 2, we just give a little bit more definition to what machinery and equipment will be used. And in this case, the machinery and equipment that's exempt is used in the process of making wine if the wine is located in an EFU zone, which we had before, and the winery owner is growing at least, in this case, 15 acres of wine grapes on land that is assessed under, and then this will give the special assessment chapter in that reference. So that's what this dash 2 is doing. It's just eliminating the conflicts with Senate Bill 248 and then putting in the 15 acres and then referring to special assessment. And then with the dash 3, we have, again, elimination of the conflicts with Senate Bill 248, but then we also include in here a local option alternative. And here we have wine grapes can be local option, as well as the machinery and equipment used in processing wine. And again, you have an owner who is growing on at least 15 acres of wine grapes on land that is specially assessed. And again, those sections will be changed due to what are the needed changes in Senate Bill 248. And then with dash 4, the difference here between the dash 3, they're very similar, except for the dash 4 doesn't have wine grapes as a local option alternative. It just has the machinery and equipment as something that could be a local option that taxing districts could adopt by ordinance. Again, you have that the wine grower has to grow at least 15 acres of wine grapes on the land. It has to be specially assessed.
Okay, the machinery and equipment, I thought, was what the topic of the bill was.
Yeah.
So what is the difference? What is it?
Well,
include?
You know, also in our original bill, though, we have inserted in here in, Section 1, we have wine grapes inserted in here. So just a matter of whether or not wine grapes are already, you're already giving a special assessment and exempting the growing of wine grapes, it, as a farm, as an agricultural commodity or not. And so this is something that... Yeah, I guess it's still an issue.
So are you saying that the harvesting of, or the production and harvesting of wine grapes as opposed to wine, that personal property is taxable?
No, that's what we're paying the machinery and equipment here. It's the land under that's specially assessed, and that's why they're just trying to add definition in here in the wine grapes. But I think Jill probably wants to speak to this.
Tell us what the dash 5 are.
Okay. And then with the dash 5, what you have there is just specifying here that the winery is located in the EFU zone, that the wine owner is growing at least 5 acres of wine grapes. So the difference here is the difference between 15 versus 5 acres of wine grapes. And it's not saying it has to be specially assessed land.
Mr. Chair.
Whose
amendments are these?
Well, Representative Rosenbaum, 3 and 4 are really the ones that, you talked with Dexter about afterwards. So that's what 3 and 4 with the local option. And then with 2, it was just trying to give the alternative. You didn't want to have a local option, but you wanted more definition with what the wine grower was really doing on the land, and that would be the dash two here.
So where did the 15-acre suggestion come from versus the 5-acre?
Okay, the 15 was because that is currently what is allowed in order to get the special assessment, and that's within 307.400, I think it is.
Okay.
And that's what the counties were talking about as far as making it consistent with what land needs now in order to get special assessment.
Okay. Okay, Gil, did you have some comment on this?
Chairman, members of the committee, Gil Riddell, Petition Board and County Staff. Just to point out that wine grapes are not now taxed, so that but the proponents put it in the list, and we've talked to Gary Conkling about that, and we're willing to let him have it in the list because we don't tax it anyway. It's a crop. So they want to have it listed, that's fine.
Okay. Gary?
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, I'm Gary Conkling, representing the Oregon wine growers, and as you can see, we're moving towards consensus. At least we agree on wine grapes so far. The dash five amendments are the amendments that we put forward, and we did this in recognition of a point that Mr. Riddell and other county representatives mentioned. In the dash one amendments, we proposed that the exemption would apply to a winery that was in an EFU zone where the winery owner is growing grapes. And they noted that under current law, it is possible to site a winery in an EFU zone when you have adjacent to your winery at least 15 acres of vineyard land that you are purchasing the wine grapes from, but that you wouldn't necessarily be a grower. And so the point was that you could have someone who could qualify to be in an EFU zone but not be a grower themselves directly. And we acknowledge that point, and our dash five amendments are an attempt to try to cover that situation, which is limited, but there are at least a couple of wineries that would fall under that category. So we have added in the dash five amendments to the same language that was in the dash one, the further qualification that the winery owner is growing at least 5 acres of wine grapes. And just as a kind of give you a measuring stick, you can produce something in the order of 2 tons of grapes per acre. So you're talking about someone here who would be producing, or at least have the capacity to produce, depending upon the vitality of their vines and such, but would be aiming at producing something in the neighborhood of 10 tons of grapes. And we submit that that's more than just a kind of a casual hobby farmer. That's producing a significant amount of juice, you know, something in the I think in the order of 150 gallons per ton is my recollection of the of what that translates into. So these are still, in general terms, in the wine industry, largely these are still small producers, but these are not incidental hobby farmers. The reason why we used 5 acres instead of 15 acres is that existing law would permit the siting of a winery in an EFU zone if they had 15 acres of vineyard land themselves, or, as I mentioned a moment ago, they had 15 acres adjacent to their winery from which they were purchasing wine grapes, or some combination. So, for example, a vineyard operator could have 5 acres of their own vineyard land adjacent or on their property and be buying wine grapes from at least 10 acres immediately adjacent to them. And there are not a lot of those circumstances, but there are a couple. And so, again, our point here is to treat the farm extension to the winery for those farm-related activities the same, and we think that someone who's at least cultivating and growing on 5 acres qualifies as a real farmer. So that's the reason for this particular amendment. And Mr. Chairman, if I might add just one other kind of procedural note, it only came to my attention late afternoon when I spoke to the staff that there was a conflict amendment with Senate Bill 248. Apparently others who had talked to Legislative Council were informed of that. I was not. So I apologize that my amendment doesn't deal with the conflict amendment. I was just unaware of it. So I appreciate that that puts you in a bit of a quandary this morning in terms of how you manage through the amendments here. If I would have known about that, I would have asked Legislative Council to have incorporated in the -5 the conflict amendment, but I was not aware of it.
Okay. So I assume that you would be supporting the -2 if the 15 acres was changed to 5 acres. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure I know what the further language is. There is a cross-site that's here, and what we have tried to do is to make our amendment as clean as possible and referencing EFU land. We did this somewhat in deference to the counties. They have control over this. The EFU designation statutes are, at least to the best of my knowledge, not really in dispute. There are some ongoing legal questions about special farm use assessment. So instead of adding less clarity, we tried to give you more clarity. It is a policy decision, but we think it's clearer if you don't try to cross-site it to the special farm use assessment.
Okay.
Perry, could you clarify for us on this conflict amendment where it's growing at least 15 acres, your preference would be for that to be 5 acres, wouldn't it?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Whiff, that's correct. And again, for the reasons that I mentioned, that in a combination reason, you could qualify to be in an EFU zone if you own some in Boston.
Okay. Any other questions or discussion to the committee?
Mr. Chair.
Representative
Schellenberg. Well, I remember when Don Schellenberg was in last, we heard about this, and looking at the -1s, and had some language proposed that we had in there that if the winery is located in an exclusive farm use zone, the winery owner is growing, and he suggested a significant portion of the wine grapes being processed. A significant portion, of course, was problematic. I'm just wondering if the -5s address that. They don't really refer to the actual processing of the grapes occurring at the facility. But I guess, would you presume that to be the case if you're growing 5 acres of wine grapes and you have a facility that you'd probably be processing those grapes at that facility, would you?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Shetterly, absolutely. And again, to qualify to be in an EFU zone, you either have to have at least 15 acres or have some contractual relationship with the product from 15 acres that's adjacent to the winery. And the reason for that is that almost all wineries are situated to be near certain kinds of grapes, wine grapes, that they're using to produce the kind of wine that they're there. I mean, there is a very direct link. It isn't absolute in that there is some mixing that's involved, and in depending upon the variety or the varietal of wine, that can be a little different from varietal to varietal. But in general, what wine growers do is grow grapes of a particular type that they harvest at particular times to produce a particular kind of wine.
Mr. Chairman, question for
are we in work session?
Yes, we are.
Can I move an amendment here?
Yes, I'd like to. Yes, go ahead.
I'd like to move the first the -2 amendment with the conceptual change to 5 acres in place of 15 acres on line 20, page 2.
That's right. That should also be line 3 on page 1, I think.
That's correct. And also changing it to 5 acres in place of 15 acres on line 3 of page 1 of the -2 amendment.
Representative Rasmussen?
Quickly, can you review for me what the -2s are about?
There are conflict amendments that resolve this bill with Senate Bill 248, should that become law, and require the growing of wine grapes on 15 acres of land. Representative Witt's motion would be to change that to 5 acres of land.
Okay.
Okay.
Any discussion on this amendment?
Mr. Chairman? I'm not a member of the committee, but...
There's some chairs available.
No, thank you. But, again, the dash twos do have the cross-reference language to the farm use assessment, and that's a policy choice that you can make. If we had our druthers, and our amendment would stop with a period after wine grapes.
Mr. Chair? Could we hear perhaps from Mr. Schlatt or Mr. Riddell their take on what that language means? I don't know myself.
Okay.
Sure. I want to jump into this
ticket. What is it?
Mark? Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Gil Riddell, Association of Oregon County, Greg Schlack, our land use specialist, is here, and Mark Noakes, who's back there, wishing he weren't here, is the president of the Assessors Association. We need a moment, I guess, to clarify what that last phrase is and the significance of it. Excuse us.
Shane Murphy?
You got a question over 10 minutes before Wells would like to come down to the photo. We're not sure about the initial amendments or the national
security. Okay. Well, we'll resolve that and they'll just have to vote on what we decide.
That's
what we
can't do.
Land use statutes, farm use statutes. We don't have a copy of Senate Bill 248, so that's our
decision. No, that's not the issue. The issue is on the dash two amendments, line four, growing wine grapes on land that is assessed under ORS 308.370.
Okay.
That does not appear in the dash five amendment. What's the difference?
Okay. Could we take a peek at the statutes refresh?
Dexter's moving forward slowly.
Mr. Johnson, why don't you tell us? You probably know what those references are.
I'll be real clear, members. Good morning, Dexter Johnson, legislative council. 308-370 sub 1 is the reference in existing ORS to exclusive farm use, farmland assessment. And in Senate Bill 248, 308-370 is being repealed and being replaced by Section 5 in the case of PSU land and Section 7 in the case of non-EFU land.
And just to remind everybody, 248 is the big thick rewrite of the special assessment.
Yes, and it, substantively it doesn't change anything, it's just a reorganization.
Right.
And that is the reason for the conflict amendments in the in Dash 2, for example, because in the original, in the lines 1 through 4, there's a reference to 308-370, and the only difference in the Section 4 is that the 308-370 is deleted and Section 5 of Senate Bill 248 is referenced.
So why isn't the reference to the special assessment contained in the Dash 5 amendments?
Simply because of the way the Dash 1 amendments were drafted, it refers to an exclusive farm use zone, but it does not reference the special. There's no requirement that the land be eligible for farm use assessment.
Okay. let me just ask Dexter while you're here. Does the specific reference to wine equipment in any way take away any other exemption or treatment of other kinds of food processing? If we just say we're talking about wine processing equipment, does that then preclude anything else that would be food processing?
It's
already covered.
Mr. Chair, I would venture to guess no, but I think really someone who's familiar with the kinds of machinery used and what the processes are would be better able to answer that question.
Okay. Art, did you have something else?
Mr. Chair, Art Slack with the Association of Oregon Counties. I believe when we discussed this on Wednesday, we talked about a two-pronged test. One is that the land had to qualify under farm use assessment. In other words, you can be in an EFU zone, and if you're not actively farming the land, you can lose your farm assessment. So that was the first test. And the second test was that, you know, we wanted more than just 15 feet of grapes at this point. Because you probably wouldn't qualify. And so that was for whether when we talked about significance, at least the farm bureau talked about significance, whether you settle on 15 acres or whether you settle on 5 acres, that would indicate, you know, at least some significance level. You could theoretically have planted the grapes and have those in production for a while and then abandon them. I mean, we've heard those unlikely, but it's theoretically possible.
Mr. Chair?
So I think the two prongs
generally
make sense.
Do I understand the difference in art? Is it, it's one thing to be located within an EFU zone. It's another thing that your land actually qualify for assessment under its freeway. That's what you're saying. You can locate this in an EFU zone based on your original farm plan or whatever gets you in through the gate to locate your facility there, but then you don't follow through on your farming plan, your farm plan, so you lose the special assessment. You're still located in EFU, but the land is not assessed at that point if you lose that under ORS 308-370. So you're saying the dash twos require both, that you be located within the EFU and that you be actively farming
in your farm.
Okay, I understand the difference then.
Are wineries generally on special farming special assessment?
Generally, yes. But I would note that you could do a commercial activity in conjunction with farm use and be a smaller scale or something. So you might not, you know, if we use the 5 acres, you might not have 5 acres of grapes. On your own land and still go through the commercial activity in conjunction with farm as a non-farm use and be, you know, getting wine grapes from other growers in the area and still have a small-scale wine.
But that wouldn't be permitted under this?
No. It wouldn't get the benefit at this point of the special tax consideration under these provisions.
Well, okay.
Mr. Chair? I don't want to say too. I take some comfort in a conversation I just had with Don Schoenberg, where this is all going to be, all this is going to be looked at in the interim anyway. So what we do today, we can take a look at next session anyway, and everybody tries to put all this together. So
you can always take a look at everything.
That's right. Apparently, a group is going to be doing that intentionally over the next interim.
I tend to think of interim as merely the intermission.
Okay. Well, the motion before us, what was the motion before us?
The 5 acres.
No, that's right. Well, thank you, everybody. Is there anybody else in the room who wants to speak before we take a vote?
Good morning. I'm Jeff Lyon, General Counsel for the Wine Growers Association. I just would like to make one point on the assessment language. One of the concerns we have with including that language in the amended bill is that while in 1994 the tax court believed that land under wineries and tasting rooms was entitled to farm use special assessment, in the controversial King Estate case that we talked about on Tuesday, the tax court believed that it was overruling its prior decision in Jura Day. So we maybe, if you include language in this bill relating to the taxation of real property for wineries and vineyards, and the tax court continues with its current line of thinking that that land does not qualify for special or farm assessment, what you end up happening is, what could happen is a tax court opinion concerning taxation of real property affecting your intended policy today, affecting taxation of personal property use on wineries and in the production of grapes. So that's why our preference is for the location and the siting of as a farm use for wineries rather than tying it to a separate tax policy that's subject to different interpretations.
Mr. Chair.
Okay, quickly.
But in this case, on page 2 of the dash 2, it's referring to the land that the wine grapes are growing on, not the land where the winery is located or the tasting room.
Well, I believe that we would be talking that you'd have to be talking about separate parcels, and if we have the winery and the wine grapes all grown on a contiguous parcel, on a single parcel, again, that could create some problems. I'm not sure that you would be splitting up parcels in their tax treatment.
Do you agree with the counties that most wine growing or wineries, or however you describe it, most people that are growing wine grapes have a farming special assessment?
I believe that most currently are, although again, our concern is with that we may see different treatment based on the King of State's representations of the prior decision on taxation of land under wineries and vineyards.
Okay. I think that's a that's another issue for the interim. Okay, any other discussion?
On the dash twos.
Right. Oh, well, we have another member of the audience who wants to
ask. While we're waiting for her to come up, I'd like to ask staff if she's, do you see the dash fours and the dash twos as being in conflict with each other?
Representative, this is dash fours, or you have to accept either the dash fours or the dash twos. Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Hussein Esquires, representing the Special Districts Association of Oregon. I did provide you with a listing of the fire districts that would be impacted in Yamhill County, and I just did a rough survey of those districts and how many wineries, just via telephone. They believe that they're protecting. Also, I've listed the total amount of taxes they have spent for $98.99, and a couple of those are, well, all of them, in my opinion, are pretty small budgets that they're operating with, and we would support the dash four amendments.
Have you looked at the dash twos? Do they make it easier for you to hate this less?
Mr. Chair, Representative Shetterly, obviously we would be more supportive of a local option where the individual taxing district could choose whether or not the property taxes were exempt. I'm still confused, since Burton does the land use planning, that I would defer to Art or Mr. Maneri on exactly what the whole land use situation is with the conflict amendments and which statutes this amendment is amending.
Any other questions for Hasina?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Jim Maneri with the Department of Revenue. I just wanted to add information. Yesterday, Representative Shetterly asked about the 10,000 square foot exemption in the law now, and we called over to Yamhill County because they have so many wineries, and they would estimate that about 25% of the existing wineries in Yamhill would qualify under the 10,000 square foot. So, just because it was asked, I wanted to give you the information.
Would qualify or did qualify?
Let me just say one more time. This situation's been a little unsettling for the department, because when you were considering that 10,000 square foot bill that would increase it to 40,000, in a late evening conversation with the Attorney General's office, they said they thought that under that part of the law that machinery and equipment would qualify. And that was the first that we understood that. So assuming that's true, that under the 10,000 square foot you would get machinery and equipment, then for Yandell County, about 25% of the wineries could qualify under that provision. So, I mean, we did a survey just because it had been asked. We wanted the ones who have that information.
Okay, thanks.
Representative Rosenbaum? It's my understanding from the staff that we cannot have both sets of amendments, the dash twos and the dash fours. I would be prepared to support the dash fours and change the 15-acre threshold to five, but it's my feeling that we're putting a burden almost exclusively on one county, and although we've passed legislation previously that would somewhat relieve the burden on local government, that would not apply to this because it doesn't have a retroactive effect. Would only apply to things past in the future. So I guess my option, so to speak, is to vote no on the dash twos because it's not possible to do both.
Okay, well, we have either the dash threes or the dash fours, and I guess the dash fours are the scenery only, is that because the wine grapes are already, so we don't need the threes.
Yeah.
Okay, further discussion on the motion, yes.
I will be not supporting the dash twos. That's the only way I could support this bill would be if we included the dash fours and gave local government an opportunity to have some control over the situation.
Okay, other comments? Merkley, what's your preference?
Well, I am supportive of this bill as long as it's a local option, which I guess is only contained in dash four. And so I'm concerned about the conflict between the dash two and the dash four and how we work that out.
You get one or the other, I guess.
Basically the same except for a local option. Okay, what we're going to do is take about a 5-minute recess, and then we'll come back. Recess for 5 minutes. Which, with the following amendments, to change 15 acres to 5 acres on line 3 of page 1, and to change 15 acres to 5 acres on page 2, line 20. And what this amendment would do would be to require the winery to be located in an exclusive farm use. Winery owners growing at least 5 acres of wine grapes on land that is under farm use special assessment. Any more discussion?
Yeah.
Mr. Rosenbaum, are you ready to discuss?
Maybe just to clarify what was said while some members were absent, that there is another set of amendments that provides for local option. And we cannot do that if we adopt these amendments because the two are in conflict. So that's the reason I will be voting no.
Okay. Any other discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Jay Merkler.
I gather that there's not a lot of passionate feeling about the local option, and it certainly be my preference in that case for us to together, united with this before, with the local option amendments rather than without. It's very consistent with where we've been this session of recognizing that when we take away the current rules for counties, when we take away taxing base, if we don't compensate the county, we should in fact, whenever possible, give them the options. And since this affects one particular county overwhelmingly and few others, I think it's very appropriate for that county to be involved in the decision about this particular policy.
Okay, further comments? I think, Representative Caprae.
I'm sorry, I was another county. Are we talking about the dash four?
Dash twos with 5 acres instead of 15 acres.
Okay.
Land of Under Farming Special Assessment. And that does not include a local option.
I just have a quick comment about the local option piece. I'm nervous about enacting the local option, because then my concern would be that, say, Washington County takes it, Yamhill County doesn't. It creates an unfair advantage for wineries in one county versus wineries in another county. So that's my concern with adopting a local option on this bill.
Mr. Chair?
Okay, Rosenbaum?
I just would respond to that by saying I don't think that's much different than what we do when we create, you know, strategic investment programs and things like that that allow counties to decide for themselves whether they want to put an incentive on certain kinds of businesses to locate or expand. So I think it's just giving them that choice.
If I read the Danish course correctly, it doesn't say the county, it says that every taxing district, so you'd have water districts, fire districts, school districts, everybody would have to. So you might have cases where you'd have 3 out of 10 that do, and so forth. And it would. But I think the reason that I'll support the Dash 2 is because I believe that the original testimony was not that this is a new tax break or some sort of a change in policy, but this is simply clarifying what was understood to be existing policy. And we had our discussion about dueling court cases over that already.
Mr. Chair?
Okay, Merkley.
I think that is a critical point, and I was wondering if I could ask Gil to clarify their position on that particular.
Okay. I'll let whoever thinks they have the answer.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Jim Minerva, the Department of Revenue. I guess Representative Merkley, what's your question about the court?
And the question is whether in your the perspective you're coming from, if we're just clarifying existing law, in which case really local option doesn't make really that much sense, or whether we are changing existing law in a significant way.
Representative Merkley, as of today, the most recent case is a tax court case that says that processing of wine grapes is not erroneous and not exempt. That case is on appeal with the Supreme Court. So we're waiting to see with arguments Supreme Court decision on that issue.
What's the shorthand name of that case?
It's the King Estate.
It's the King Estate.
And is it your opinion that that is contradictory to the Craven case?
Mr. Chair, no. I mean, that's the whole debate. I have to say, the tax court in 94 interpreted Craven one way, and then in 90, and then with King Winery reversed itself as to how it understood what the court was doing in Craven back in 89.
Okay.
And that's on appeal right now.
Okay, thank you. You can move along. The motion is to adopt the Dash 2. Please call the roll.
Can I declare a conflict of interest first?
Why don't you wait till we adopt the, so we have a motion on the bill.
Representative Ford.
Aye.
Representative Merkley.
No.
Representative Rosenbaum.
No.
Representative Kennerly.
Aye.
Representative Welch.
Aye.
Representative Williams.
Aye.
Representative Witt.
Aye.
Vice Chair Rasmussen.
No.
Chair Kobe.
Aye. Motion or the amendment adopted.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Witt.
I would move the Dash 5 amendments to Senate Bill 595.
Representative Witt, I don't think you need to do that. The Dash 5 amendments are already part of the Dash 2 amendment and include the conflict amendment.
Oh, they do? Okay.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Witt.
I would move Senate Bill 595 as amended to the floor with a two-pass recommendation.
Okay, Representative Witt moves Senate Bill 595 as amended to the floor with a two-pass recommendation. Senator Corey.
Oh, thank you. I would wish to declare a conflict of interest.
Senator Corey declares potential conflict of interest on Senate Bill 595. Any reason?
Because my family is the winner in the annual county.
Bill noted. Further discussion? Call the roll. Representative Rasmussen.
it frustrates me intensely that we're putting this bill out in a non-bipartisan way, in a adversarial way, when it could have easily been dealt with in a collegial way. It frustrates me. I guess I just want to say this to my colleagues who will be continuing on in their legislative career. Step by step, we make little changes to the code, and you sit there and say, well, this particular tax exemption is good. And then you look up. I mean, if you never look up from your feet, making one step at a time, you'll never know exactly where you ended, how it was you ended up, wherever it was you ended up. And we are doing this out of context on a slippery slope, and my time's done. I'm over. I mean, you all get to finish working on tax code, and you can continue to do whatever little exemptions you want to do. But if I have any parting words of wisdom for you, watch out for these things on a step-by-step basis.
Any further comments? Please call the roll.
Representative Murphy. No. No. Representative Rosenbaum. No. Representative Kelly. Aye. Representative Wells. Aye. Representative Williams. Aye. Representative Pitt. Aye. 705-95 will go to the floor of the due passer recommendation. I have a volunteer carrier.
Okay, what? I can get it go.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Rosenbaum.
I would like to see that for a possible minority report.
Okay, so noted. Work session is closed on Senate Bill 595.
I'll be joining.
We will next meet at the call of the chair. Or adjourn.
What? Yeah, cool.